This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. When the Texas Standard is looking for someone to provide insight or perspective on something happening along the Texas-Mexico border or further south, someone we often turn to is a gentleman named Alfredo Corchado. I'm sure longtime listeners know that name. He is the Mexico border correspondent for the Dallas Morning News, and he's just published a new book. It's called Homelands: Four Friends, Two Countries, and the Fate of the Great Mexican-American Migration. It's a sort of blend of memoir and political history, exploring the last 30 years of Mexican immigration through Corchado's own experience as a reporter and as an immigrant. Alfredo, good to have you in the studio for once. Thanks so much
great
for stopping by.
Great to be here.
You're usually out in the field. I have to ask you about the title here because two countries, I know which two countries we're talking about there, The Fate of the Great Mexican-American Migration. Who are the four friends?
Four friends, the book could have easily been called Homesick. These are four people who met in Philadelphia in the winter of 87. We thought we were the only Mexicans in Philly. And we came around the unlikeliest of friends because, I mean, we didn't really have much in common other than the fact that we were from Mexico, that three of us were from Mexico. But we came around a question that we asked ourselves, which is, how do we fit in? What does it mean to be an American? And it's a question I think resonates even much more so today.
In fact, I get a sense that through your reporting that you continually ask that question of yourself and of the people that you talk with.
And anytime you feel like you found the answer, there's this cruel irony that you start all over again. It's almost like unrequited love. Mm. You're constantly looking for affection and respect, not just from the country you left behind, but from the United States.
What does it mean then? I mean, if we were to extend this, what does it mean to be an American as you've thought that through? And I realize that what you're saying is this is something that seems to be always changing. But how would you define that now?
One reason why I love living on the Texas border is that you really don't have to choose. You really don't have to struggle with that question. I mean, you really belong to both sides. And as I say in the book, it's the epicenter of my homelands. It's a question that not only do I have to deal with myself, but I think more importantly, try to help my parents deal with that, because they are the immigrants. They are the ones who made that decision, and they're the ones who made that sacrifice to bring us across the border. And they are the ones who are asking themselves these days, was it worth the sacrifice? Obviously, it's worth it for us. I mean, most of us became U.S. citizens. Most of us have an education. But when you're told that you're a rapist, you're a murderer, etc., I think there's a sense of, is there any gratitude? I mean, we helped build this country.
Can I ask you something? Because this hits on something that we are continually sort of looping around in our conversation about identity in the United States. And I think about, for instance, there is a Mexican-American curriculum, and there's a discussion over how to label that, how to brand that. Some people want to take away the hyphenated identity. Why do you feel it's important to be Mexican-American rather than American? Is it not enough for someone who comes to the United States to say, I'm American, but I'm of Mexican ancestry?
I'm actually conflicted about that because I've never really quite seen myself as Mexican-American. I've seen myself as Mexican. I mean, my first memories are of Mexico. But this country has been so great to me personally and to my family, my brothers, my sisters, that I feel that I'm allowed to be Mexican and love this country, love America. I mean, when my parents ask themselves about their sacrifice, I remind them that the values, that the principles, that the ideals of this country are greater than the difficult moments that we live in today.
You could have done any number of things, Alfredo. Why did you decide on journalism?
I was a migrant worker in California. Mm-hmm. And one day you have these reporters come up to the fields. I was obviously underage. My mother tried to make me look older. but they came right at me and asked me, what's the situation like? What are the working conditions like? They asked all these questions. The first question they asked was, how old are you? And I said, I'm 13. And they just grilled me. But I was hooked. I was hooked on the idea that someone wanted to tell my story, that someone was curious enough to find out what the conditions were. But when I went back to school, I was now in El Paso, Texas at the El Paso Community College. my teacher said, you know, you want some extra credit? Maybe you can join us in the El Paso Community College newspaper and run some errands for us. I think a week later, I became one of the features editors, not because I was good, because I my writing was lousy, but because there weren't enough people on staff, you know. But that's once you get that that disease, if you will, the journalism disease. I mean, I found over time that it's an incurable disease. You can't let it go.
You know, I was thinking about what you were saying there. They didn't have enough people. And I was thinking about what we're now experiencing in this larger conversation about immigration. And as this zero tolerance policy sort of takes root, and we're hearing from employers all across Texas in a variety of different
arenas. All across
arenas.
The country, really.
That's true. Not enough people.
Right.
There are not enough people. How do you square that circle? I mean, how do you reconcile the fact that there is this movement currently, at least from the administration, and yet there's this push, this need for more Americans. Really.
It's really misguided. I mean, I did a lot of traveling in the Midwest for the book, meatpacking industry, other industries, and they kept asking me, where are the Mexicans? Overall, there's like a million less Mexicans today in this country. So I think we've arrived to the day when Americans are really beginning to miss Mexicans.
It's really interesting. You were telling us before we started rolling the tape here, you were saying that you felt a little guilty in a way being out and about talking about the new book because there is so much ferment happening right now and there's this presidential election. You think about the political situation in the United States and how things are shaping up in Mexico. What are we looking at in the foreseeable future at this relationship? Because Texas has so much at stake here.
So much at stake. I mean, it's something like $500 billion in trade going back and forth. One scenario that I look at, and a lot of Mexicans are looking at, is the possibility that Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the left-leaning candidate.
The front runner. He's a populist.
So you look at that very likely possibility that López Obrador would be president, and it's a six-year term. And let's say President Trump gets elected. You're looking at 6 years. And I think it's 6 years of a lot of uncertainty when it comes to the U.S.-Mexico relationship.
A confrontational relationship? More confrontational relationship?
I was impressed that López Obrador went to Ciudad Juárez, right across El Paso, Texas. Mm-hmm. And said, Mr. Trump, we will not be your piñata anymore. I mean, the fact that it was the U.S. who really pushed for NAFTA, and now you have a president who calls it the worst deal ever, it kind of tells the Mexicans, you know what, we might have to do this on our own. We maybe shouldn't be so dependent on the United States. We should carve out our own destiny.
Identity, heritage, history, politics, it's all here. Homelands is the title of the book, Four Friends, Two Countries, and the Fate of the Great Mexican-American Migration. The author is Alfredo Corchado. He's one of our frequent guests here on the Texas Standard, and he writes quite a bit for the Dallas Morning News, as readers know. Alfredo, I wish we had more time. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us.
Thank you so much.